Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Never take your heart health for granted. For just $99, you can get a complete screening and know your risks. Call 601-249-5198 to schedule your Happy Healthy Heart screening at Southwest Mississippi Regional Medical Center.
All right, welcome in, everybody, to the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Glad that you guys are here, as you always are. It is an off week, but I'm glad you're here nonetheless. Today's conversation, it's actually going to be a quick, and I got to hold myself to this tonight. It's going to be a quick episode. I've got a really long day tomorrow, for whatever it's worth. I've got a high school football game to call in Tupelo tomorrow. So if I can get out of Tupelo by about 10 p.m., I'll be doing good and got a jet all the way back down here tomorrow night. So did the radio show today, obviously, podcast tonight, get to Tupelo, radio show for 3 hours, call a three-hour football game, then get home. So I need to call it a night early, if that's okay with you guys, but I appreciate you being here nonetheless. Ole Miss has now been vaulted, or they have vaulted themselves, I should say, into the playoff conversation. The expectations, the pressure on this team are now that of one that is expected to make the playoff. Are they ready for this go-around? Bring that up. Want to hear what you guys think. And then also, I'm going to end the podcast with my one-on-one with Michael Lasasso, who shot 6 under at the Sanderson today. He should have been one shot off the lead, but had to take a two-shot penalty from something that happened on the sixth hole earlier. But still, great round. Finished 4 under, but got to visit with him this week right after his press conference there. And so I'll bring that to you at the end of the podcast. So don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a comment, all that good stuff right here on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe. And leave a rating and a review. And also, Toyota of Brookhaven brings you this podcast every day. They're off Exit 40 in Brookhaven or online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. That is the website. They will take care of you. You'll have a great car buying experience. You don't need to live in the area. Trust me, it's worth the trip if you are within driving distance, if you're looking for a new vehicle. Check out their online inventory. And it will be worth the trip. They will take care of you like a person. They've got great in-house financing, especially low interest rates on the new Tundras. They'll give you $1,000 off on me, any in-stock new Toyota, if you just simply tell them that I sent you, because Toyota of Brookhaven will deliver for you. So we have rightfully praised the way that Ole Miss has played in tight games. I mean, it's obvious, right? They lost 3 one-score games a year ago. The only one-score games they played were all losses. This year, they have played 3 one-score games, and they have won all of them. And the way that they have executed late in all of these games has been the most impressive part. They are not the ones that have panicked. It's been their opponent. They're not the ones that had the costly turnover. It's been their opponents. They are the ones that were able to sustain second half drives. They were the ones that executed and did the right things to win these close games. This team looks comfortable in those kind of moments. And that is a very, very, obviously, breaking news, more to 11. That is a very good thing. Last year's team did not look comfortable in tight spots in one score games where they needed to move the chains to get a first down without making a mistake, and they couldn't do it, and so on and so forth. So that's been the most impressive quality to me about this team, is how they have performed in the tightness of these one-score games. Last year, I think it's obvious that they did not handle the pressure and expectations well. Sometimes you just lose games. People say about so many teams, well, they just kept reading their newspaper clippings or whatever. Or a more modern phrase would be they got high on their own supply, or whatever the case may be. It's easy to say that after a game. Sometimes you do just lose. That does happen. But I do think you guys saw it, and everybody saw it. This Ole Miss team last year didn't handle that well. And it felt like the pressure got to them. And so will this one be different? That's what I've been thinking about all day today. Are they ready for playoff pressure? Because it's here now. It wasn't here before. I'm sure internally they have that goal, but the outside expectation of this team not only can make the playoff, but now they should. Like they should make it at this point. They will be favored to make the playoff. So can they handle it? And that is a fascinating question because it's been 5 weeks, but it's just now starting. And now you've got a bye week to build that hype up, and then you've got Washington State, which is a game that they should win and win comfortably, to further build that hype up. And it can go one of two ways, obviously. So often people think that Ole Miss just completely flips their roster every year. And I understand why. Like, they lost what they did in the draft. They lose a veteran quarterback. They lose their running back room, wide receivers. They lost a lot, right? But if you look at their current team, their quarterback is a national championship winning quarterback. I know at a Division II level, but he has experience not only just in college football, but in leading a team into winning a championship. But more importantly, you have a lot of players that experienced what they did a year ago. Caden Lee, Daquan Wright, three of their five offensive linemen. Even in the running back room, Logan Diggs obviously was in the locker room a year ago. Their defensive leader, TJ Dottery, he was involved last year. Centarian Perkins, obviously a starter on last year's team. You know, most of your defensive line played for last year's team as well. And also, as you know, the coaching staff stayed, I mean, completely intact. And so what you hope is that all of those guys can draw from that experience and figure out what went wrong and why it went wrong and why they played tight and why things happened the way they did a year ago, and apply that to this newfound pressure that they have in 2025. They went quickly from, hey, you know, 8-4 would be a fine year, to their quarterback getting hurt, to, oh my gosh, there's a budding superstar in Trinidad Chambliss, and now they're ranked inside the top five. Lane Kiffin usually hates bye weeks. In fact, he talks about it publicly when they're playing well anyway. So Ole Miss is healthy and they're playing well. And so Lane Kiffin wants to keep playing when that's the case. He doesn't want to take a week off, because you want to just continue the momentum you have. And, you know, now this weekend, the team's going to up and, you know, go home or do whatever this weekend instead of playing a ball game. And their coach very publicly does not like that. That is a thing, or does not like that concept about bye weeks, but they are now facing a new challenge. Not only will their next big game be on the road, which is something that Trinidad has not faced like this anyway in his career, but now they have a different set of eyes on them, a different set of expectations. You hope Lane Kiffin has learned from last year's failures. I think what helps a ton is that they have an ability more so now than they did a year ago to consistently run the football. They're better at running back. There's no doubt that they are better at running back. The offensive line did some nice things in the LSU game that should give you some confidence. And we'll see. But that is something that I've been thinking about a lot today, is this is new. This is new. And how will they handle it? Unfortunately, I hate talking like this, but we'll just have to see. But that is the new layer to this season now, as expectations have dramatically changed from the outside on this team. Will they be ready for it? We'll have to see. Podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered. If you are a Mississippi business and you need technology in the office, anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage, data security, IT projects, phone systems, whatever it is, if it's technology in the office and you need it, absms.com. Tell them I sent you. Get a complimentary office technology assessment. Also, Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need to do is have an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money. Priority One Bank, they make you their priority. Yeah, got to get that stream in, even on the bye week. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. Good to see you, James. Hi again, The Revolution. Good to see you. Good to see you, Robert. Honestly, this team gets the week and the next to take the edge off, but prep for Georgia nonetheless. Yeah, Lane Kiffin even admitted that, and it's not a secret really of any kind, because as I told you guys, they have a bunch of staff members whose jobs are to advance scout their opponents. This whole idea that these schools just 1 week at a time is just garbage. You know, they largely need to focus on that, but Ole Miss is going to start getting ready for Georgia. That they started this week getting ready for Georgia. Of course, they're doing Washington State prep and things like that. But yeah, they're going to use the extra time to get ready for Georgia. That is a totally fine, acceptable, normal thing that happens in college football. Yeah, they might, even though Lane Kiffin hates these, maybe they did need to get the edge taken off a little bit. To kind of come down from the high and recenter. But, yeah. Off topic, we really like Josh Pate's idea of rankings, rank teams week to week, and stop thinking, what do I think they'll do? Yeah, but sometimes his rankings, I scratch my head, because they're not, he says they're not rankings. I don't know. So glad they got an easy game after the bye. Lane's team seemed to come out sleepy from the byes. That might lead into some of the reason why he doesn't like them. Seems like Kiffin has grown ever since last year. Forget he's still super young. He's never overrated. He's just learning and still developing on how to be a great coach. He'll be one of the best. Colin, I think you'll be surprised when I tell you that he's 50. He got started so soon and so big right away. But yeah, he's 50. And that's not old, by the way. I'm not saying that's old, but and my gosh, I saw a picture going around of him during his introductory press conference. He looks younger 5 years later than he did at his introductory press conference. So he looks much younger because he's kind of gotten his, forgive my language, earmuffs, everybody. If you got kids in the car, he's gotten his shit together, it seems. He just looks a lot healthier. I think if they weren't ready for it, they wouldn't have played so well against Tulane and especially LSU. That Tulane game is a good sign for team character. That's a really good point. And still, they didn't have their best on offense against LSU with penalties and turnovers. Yeah, got a lot to clean up still, which is a good thing because they're highly productive with a lot to clean up. That's a good thing. If he stays for another 3 to 4 years, do you think he'll go down as the greatest Ole Miss football coach ever? No, no, he will not. The greatest Ole Miss coach ever has multiple national championships. So, no. But the greatest since then. I do not remember Shady Oaks Country Club on Clinton Boulevard. I do not. That's before my time. Florida and Auburn fans back at it again. Guys, don't let them get to you. Lane's not going. Yeah, I mean, you know, we're well established here that we're not going to talk about it until given reason to. Like with the Chris Beard thing with Texas A&M, we talked about that because that was real. I mean, A&M was really pursuing him, and he very clearly heard them out and just liked where he was better. So we talked about that then. I mean, poor Florida fans taking a thing out of context, too, about Kiffin wanting to be like Steve Spurrier, and they somehow think that that meant that he wanted to be – anyway, it just, you know, just kind of let them do their thing. It's not worth your time. It's a shallow week, but have to ask your thoughts on the four games in the SEC this week. Mississippi State got some bad injury news. They're going to be pretty thin on the offensive line, and I don't think Isaac Smith is going to play either. At least it doesn't look like it. So, unfortunately for Mississippi State, as I keep saying, they're much better. They are much better. But I think that their lack of depth in some spots, especially on the offensive line, you're going to see come back to bite them this week. That A&M line after the injury report came out jumped 2.5 points. And I think for good reason. Kentucky, Georgia, that will be a mauling, in my opinion. Even though it's an early kickoff, you're going to have a pretty pissed off Georgia team and just a hapless Kentucky, not only team, but program. Texas, Florida, that line, again, after the injury report, has fallen to Texas minus only 4.5 now. This is Billy Napier's last stand, and something about that line is fishy. But no, look, I mean, people are doing the Arch Manning found something against Sam Houston. That's possibly the worst team in the FBS. I'm not going to fall for that yet. I mean, he needs to prove it on the road before I start talking about how good he is. That will be a rock fight, a low-scoring football game. Vanderbilt, Alabama. I love Vanderbilt. I love Pavia. I love the story. I think Vanderbilt's pass defense in particular is going to be what does them in, and it could be close for a little while, but I think Alabama's going to take care of business at home. Think Lane wants a statue in Oxford. Hope he earns one. He certainly can. Lane's taking the points this season. That's the difference. I think that's an oversimplification. Now, and it's only because, James, don't the concept of taking the points, as I've said before on this show, it's not that simple. And we talked about it a lot last year and really every year under him. Number one, if he does not believe in going for it on fourth down, or if you are a person that doesn't think that he should go for it on fourth down, then did you disagree with the decision to go for it to seal the win against LSU? Because that was absolutely the right decision, whether or not it worked. But they couldn't, quote unquote, take the points a season ago because they didn't have a reliable kicker. And you saw it when they did line up to kick field goals, how often he missed them. So, it's fourth down, just take the points. It's easier to say, but the field goal wasn't guaranteed for that team. Much better at kicker this season, so it's easier to make that decision. But I'm kind of nitpicking what you said, but it's something that I just believe in a lot because there was a lot of criticism over the years of, well, just take the points, Lane. Why don't you take the points? Because the points aren't guaranteed when you have an unreliable kicker. If your kicker can't make field goals consistently, then no, it's not just taking the points. There's a risk element to kicking a field goal. You come away with nothing. So it's different now because of that. I think the defense is getting much better as time goes on. Defensive line looked like the light bulbs come on for a couple of guys. They wanted to make the playoff. They needed to beat LSU, and they have. The pressure was going to come regardless. It was, but it's here now. Last year, the team went back and forth on their level of performance. Some games like Oklahoma, you'd get a terrible half and a great one. This team has shown consistency and is getting better. Yeah. If Ole Miss beats Georgia and Chambliss plays well, he will be the Heisman frontrunner. I think he would be second behind the gentleman at Oregon. But I think they learned a lot from last year. You hope so. 12-0 from JD, maybe. I wouldn't bet on that, but I wouldn't be shocked. What game would Ole Miss get a home night game for? South Carolina. Yeah, Edwards right. I think that's the game that gets buried on the SEC network. They can get past Georgia, look out deep playoff run. Even if they can't, if it's close, that will tell you a lot. I'll say they lose close in Athens and Norman with Mateer back, and they're 6-2. How does the narrative and pressure shift to even with two extremely tough games? The pressure would be enormous on the Egg Bowl, obviously. I mean, it would be enormous. It's tough to even think about. I think Ole Miss will move up in the AP poll if the Noles win this weekend. I do. Oklahoma is the greatest challenge, in your opinion, especially being after Georgia. That's tough. So Lane was an Uber driver this week, and now he's at a Theo Von show in Nashville after recruiting all day. Not a bad life. What's the Uber driver thing? I'm not familiar. if they are 6-2 after Oklahoma, the fans have to realize they did what they had to do and take one third of the tough games, then defend home in the two SEC games where the opponent is reeling. Yep. Turned 45 yesterday. 50 ain't old anymore. No, it's not. It's not at all. It's not at all. Really appreciate the super chat, man. Thank you. Thank you an absolute ton. Really, really, really appreciate you. Just found out they can wear Realtree helmets more than one time a season. Do you think we will see them on the road, possibly in the postseason? I don't know. I would like to. I like this version of them. I like this version of them a lot. Lane was getting kind of fat. He was fat. He'd probably tell you that too. Fat Lane is funny to go back and look at, to be honest. Because he's just how much better he looks now physically. If Chandler starts the rest of the season, if you had to guess, does Simmons nurse his injury and return next year? I think he should. I think that would be the best thing for him. Yes. I mean, you've seen now what this offense can do with quarterbacks. I mean, maybe it doesn't appear that there are hurt feelings, but maybe there are hidden ones, and he just wants to leave because of them. But it would be smart for him to stay in that scenario. It would. Really think this D-line will get better as the season goes on and be key to winning games against South Carolina and Mississippi State with bad O-lines. Yeah. Can Vanderbilt do it again? I hope so, but I don't think so. What is the narrative? If Ole Miss beats Georgia and Oklahoma back-to-back, then you're talking about a team that would compete for a national championship. That would be what the narrative would switch to. Why do you think Florida's going to win? The odds are telling you something. I mean, Arch has been absolute garbage. I mean, true garbage, with the exception of the Sam Houston game. Salty defensively. Billy Napier's, again, his final stand. Do Vanderbilt's better than Georgia this year? Oh, I don't know about that, but they're certainly salty. Florida and Spurrier have hired coaches from Illinois, Utah, a coordinator, Colorado State, Mississippi State, and Louisiana. They've never hired a coach from a top school. They won't now. I tend to think they'll get one of Golesh or Sumrall. Imagine telling a man in 2016 that in 10 years we could be talking about Ole Miss versus Vanderbilt in the SEC title game, and it's 100% possible. No kidding. Doesn't Carniero have the most field goals made in the SEC? I don't know that answer. Let's see. Field goals made SEC football this season. SEC player kicking stats. Let's see. Yep, he does. He's 11 of 12. And there is only two other kickers that have double-digit attempts, and he is the only kicker that has double-digit makes. His one miss, I believe, was from 52, and he barely missed it. So he's one of two from 50. He's two of two from 40 to 49. How about that? Yeah, he's been great. He's been great. I've seen State getting a lot of attention for faculty selling seats to visitors. Have that same issue in your section in the vault, too. Always have visitors around. Yeah, the State faculty thing is worse because they could get, like, discounted seats and stuff. They're slowly phasing that out, though, apparently. They go for it on fourth down at approximately the same rate as last season. No one would believe it, but here we are. It's just the timing. And here's the thing. If it doesn't work at the end of the LSU game and they go down and score a touchdown and win, everybody's criticizing a fourth down decision. You can't operate in hindsight. You've got to operate with what you know at the time the decision was made. I don't like having takes with the benefit of hindsight. .190/61-12 is the record Kiffin needs to get close to. He would need to go to at least .125/50 with two natties to be considered the best coach in Ole Miss history. Yeah. Do I feel better about the Georgia or the Oklahoma game? If they were flipped, I would feel better about Oklahoma. But they are not. I think Ole Miss has a better shot against Georgia. They played very conservatively against Auburn and Michigan, and their quarterbacks are mistakes prone, even Mateer. Did my view of South Carolina change after their win over Kentucky? It did not. It did not. I'm just going rapid fire. Sorry about this. I just want to get to this interview and be done for the night. Thank you. Even if he's second in the race at the end of the season, talking about Trinidad, they may still give it to him because of the story. The story will help. What you wouldn't give for one of the next two to be a home game? Georgia and Oklahoma, yeah. Oh, the Uber driver thing is he did something with Winston Watkins. Yeah, Winston Watkins, big on TikTok, apparently. I don't follow players on TikTok, but apparently he is. Mateer still injured? Yeah, but he's going to come back soon. I think he's already practicing. Fought Hemingway Stadium at Kiffin Field has a nice ring to it. Yeah. All right. So, appreciate you guys always in the comments. I'm going to end the podcast after this interview. So I'll come back after the interview and say thank you and all that. But caught up with Michael Lasasso, and this is perfect bye week content here. He's playing in the Sanderson this week on the PGA Tour. And it's a good conversation. Talked about the national championship and things like that. So hope you guys enjoy it. Ole Miss national champion golfer, Michael Lasasso. And by the way, one of you just tell me if the audio is good. Cause I had to render the video and then immediately upload it to get ready in time. So just give me like one or two, you just be like, yeah, sounds good. But here's my one-on-one, a little bit earlier with, Ole Miss national champion golfer, Michael Lasasso. Pretty good conversation here. Hope you guys enjoy it.
Oh, I was at the game Saturday. I saw you got to bring your trophy out on the field and get 60,000 plus people to recognize that. What was that like?
Yeah, there's a lot of people there. It was pretty cool leading that Walk of Champions. That was first time I've ever done that. I was shocked how many people there were.
My question to you, though, is, so Braden Thornberry in the field this week, also a national champion at Ole Miss. After he won, during a timeout in a football game, they let him put a football on a tee and hit it with a club through the field goal post. And he made it. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Why didn't they let you do that? Why didn't you get to hit a football through the field goal post? What's up with that?
I think that was a running joke between our coach and Braden. And it's pretty funny. He was pretty animated to do it. I know that for sure. I'm not sure why I didn't do that. We should have made that a tradition, but, you know, it's all good.
Would you have made it?
I hope so. You know, I think it was from kicking range, so I hope I would be able to do it. But
have you ever hit a football with a golf club before?
No, that would be the first time for sure.
I kind of feel like that would be heavy. I'm surprised he made it because footballs are heavy, and obviously the golf club is not made to hit something that heavy, but he nailed it. I figured they did like a Tom Brady, like deflate the football to make it a little bit easier for him, and we just don't know about it.
Yeah, I know they used to have like there was a fake episode that they made of like, it was like 30 for 30. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it was kind of like talking about like chasing a new sport, golf, which is like what they said it was, football and golf. It's actually quite hilarious. You'll get a good laugh out of it if you watch it.
So kind of a goofy question here. Forgive me for that. How did you win the national championship? How'd you pull that off?
Yeah, I think the whole week, you know, kind of going out there, it was one of those things where you knew you had nothing to lose, especially for Ole Miss. That was our first time making it ever to match play. So it's kind of one of those things where we kind of had a chip on our shoulder and it was like, we're kind of playing with nothing to lose, which I think is a good mentality to have, you know, and kind of coming down the stretch, it also kind of felt like that too. You know, I wasn't leading kind of coming into that back nine. It was one of those things where it was like, just go kind of step on the gas and see what happens. And I was fortunate enough to win, kind of coming down the stretch, but you know, it could have went a million different ways, but you know, I was lucky enough to kind of take the win that week.
So your team, correct me if I'm wrong, finishes as high as you've ever finished it as a program before. How do you go from making the final four, quote unquote, to getting a team national championship?
Yeah. You know, I think we were so close. You know, I think most of the guys, it's a long week for sure, especially out being in California. We were out there for a long time, and I think it started to get a little bit sloppy coming down the stretch. I know for myself, but from a couple other guys, and I mean, we were a point away, and you know, we had two matches that were tied from 16 and on, you know, and ended up losing both of them. So we were right there. We just had to win pretty much like one hole. But I know it kind of irks the guys a lot this year, kind of knowing that how close we were last year. And I think that puts a fuel under us, kind of to get back in that spot and, you know, not kind of not leave it up to chance this year.
So let's talk about you here. So what's interesting is, you know, you're an amateur in the field. Not your first start on the PGA Tour, though. You got to play in the U.S. Open as well. What have you learned from your previous five starts on tour, right, before this one this week?
Yeah, it's definitely a long week. There's a lot of travel that goes into it. You know, there's a lot more moving parts than people really understand. You know, they kind of only see that coverage starting on Thursday. But kind of just being able to find your own personal routine early in the week, you know, you kind of get there, you know, if you're flying, you might get there late on Monday. And so kind of just being able to find your own rhythm throughout the week is pretty important. You know, you definitely don't want to tire yourself out. It's pretty easy to kind of get emotionally gassed before the week even starts. So kind of just trying to keep it pretty monotone and make sure you have some room for gas on the weekend, and especially the first 2 days. And, you know, it's kind of being one of those moments where you just kind of want to soak it in, kind of the whole week, you know. These weeks are pretty special. You know, I kind of talk to a lot of veterans out here, and they say how quickly their time has gone. So kind of just being able to realize, like, you know, I'm out here, take the most of it, you know, kind of be grateful for the opportunity and just kind of see where your game brings you.
Do you mind naming a couple of the guys that you've kind of leaned on when it comes to experience or advice or whatever, tour veterans that you mentioned, anybody that you're willing to talk about here?
Yeah, it's kind of in guys that I've played with. So Ben Martin was a big one. I played with him out at the Barracuda. You know, I always kind of ask questions to the guys that were, like, kind of around me. So I played with Nick Dunlap in one of the events and, you know, kind of just asked him, like, what is it like kind of being on tour versus college? Trying to think of other guys. You know, I definitely go through Braden Thornberry and Jackson Suber. You know, I've asked them a ton of questions, and they've been so supportive kind of through the whole thing. You know, another two guys that I've been huge on, Taylor Moore, and he was a big one, and Quade Cummings. So they're both Oklahoma kids, but I've been fortunate enough to play a couple practice rounds with them, and they're the most supportive people ever. So, you know, I can bounce a ton of questions off of them and ask them, you know, how have they been able to, like, have such success out here and kind of, like, learn from them. You know, they all kind of say the same thing. It's always, you know, kind of be grateful for being grateful that you're out here, and you know, kind of just don't tire yourself out. That's a big one.
So you got to play in the U.S. Open. One player under par wins the thing. Was that, I mean, it looked brutal on television. Was it as hard in person as it looked for us watching?
I don't actually think so. It's one of those courses where if you had another three practice rounds, you would realize that you probably wouldn't hit driver as much as you did. Driver just kind of got you into some iffy spots because the fairways were so tight. You know, it was kind of one of those things where people didn't really talk about it. The ball also went a little bit further out there than normal. So I know my 7-iron that week, if I was to go play in Mississippi in the fall, it normally goes about 185. Kind of out there, it was going like around 200 yards, which is like a pretty big adjustment. It could have been just adrenaline and a bunch of other factors. But the ball definitely went pretty far out there. So if you were able to keep it in the short grass with any club, you were never really going to have too long of an iron in. You would never really be hitting like a 6-iron into the green because those are pretty hard to hold out there. But there's definitely some spots you don't want to be. And then there's a couple holes that are just kind of brutal. Like number 8's a tough hole. 9's a tough hole. So it's kind of just trying to pick your poison on certain places around the golf course and just trying to fly by it.
You finally broke through, made a cut. Have you given yourself the opportunity to look at how much money you had to turn down as an amateur that you would have made that week making the cut, or do you have any idea?
I definitely saw it. I mean, I know there's other amateurs that are throwing away much bigger checks than I am. So, you know, for me, it's kind of being more of like having the experience out here. So the transition hopefully is a little bit more seamless when I turn professional after this year. But, yeah, I mean, that really doesn't eat away at me too much, I will say.
Hopefully there's some NIL deals that are helping bridge the gap there. Augusta National, correct me if I'm wrong, you're going to be participating in the Masters come April. I mean, I was never in your shoes. I'm 33 years old. I still dream of playing in the Masters. What is that like for you, knowing that you've achieved that goal and you get to tee it up at Augusta?
Yeah, I mean, it's unreal for sure. I've talked to a bunch of people that have played in it. One of my good friends is Evan Beck, who won the Mid-Am. And he said that he's actually still getting presents to this day from the Masters. So he said that that week is like, it's really, it can't really be rivaled. There's like nothing really like it. And he said that the week goes by so quickly. He's like, there's so many eyes watching you at every time during the week and the practice rounds and everything that, you know, it really, you try and keep your head down a little bit because you're a little bit nervous. And he said that he wished he took a little bit more advantage of kind of just looking around and realizing how sick the place really is. So I'm going to try my best to do that.
A couple more things for you. You're not from Mississippi, but you play your college golf in Mississippi. Does this tournament mean something a little bit different for you than the previous four, at discounting the U.S. Open, that you've played so far on tour? Is this one a little bit different considering where it is?
Yeah, for sure. This is the first time I've drove to an event, which is always nice. You know, it feels like a lot of people walking around have Ole Miss gear on, which is always nice to see as well. You know, it's nice kind of having a supporting fan base, especially out at these weeks. You know, you can kind of get overwhelmed pretty quickly with, you know, it's a different environment for sure. Everything's kind of always, from my previous last four starts, everything kind of feels a little bit amplified. You know, there's a lot more people watching you. So kind of knowing that I have people out here supporting me this week, it's definitely a good feeling.
Well, we wish you the best of luck this week. Thank you so much for your time, and hit them good out there.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
That's national champion Michael Lisasso.
Hope you guys like that. I know it's, you know, football centric now, but it is the off week, so I figured I'd bring that that to you guys. Also, so here, there's, I believe, four Ole Miss alums or active players in the field, and they all had a good day, actually. So here, let me pull up the leaderboard here. Braden Thornberry, who needs the fall swing. He's a threat to possibly lose his card. Shot 4-under today, which is good. Lisasso shot 4-under, was at 6-under, but had to take a 2-stroke penalty. Don't know exactly what happened. We'll see. Jackson Suber, saw him, followed him for a little while. He shot 2-under, as did Kai Meeks. He also shot 2-under. So good stuff from the Ole Miss guys in round one, anyway, of the Sanderson. So I'll be out there Saturday and Sunday with a little guy in tow. So if you guys are out there, I've met one of you today, and that was cool. So if there's an opportunity, if you guys see us, stop me, say hello. I thought that was pretty cool today. So hope I see more of you out there this weekend. Y'all have a great night. I'll talk to you Sunday, and we'll just recap the college football weekend together then. I'll see you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.